Palestinian Authority called on the UN Security Council to stop Israeli actions against Muslim and Christian sanctities. The Taliban say they've killed at least a dozen foreign soldiers in several operations across Afghanistan. And several world leaders take part in the first international Nowruz festivities in Iran.
نوروز این ظرفیت را دارد که زمین ساز روابط گسترده و عمیق فرهنگی و ارتقاء ارزش‌های انسانی در بین همه ملت‌ها باشد.
It's 7:30 in the afternoon here in Tehran. You're with Press TV's International News. The top story this hour, acting Palestinian Authority chief has called on international bodies to reject any unilateral action by Israel over Jerusalem al-Quds and holy sites sacred to both Muslims and Christians.
We call on the international community and especially the Security Council and the EU, the European Union, in addition to the international organizations and the UNESCO, we call on them not to recognize any unilateral measures which Israel takes in Jerusalem al-Quds, and we hold we call on these organizations to take their responsibility to put an end to these Israeli policies in the Al-Aqsa Mosque and all the other holy sites, the heritage sites in Al-Quds and in Bethlehem and Hebron and the other Palestinian occupied territories.
Well, Mahmoud Abbas made that appeal on the first day of the Arab League summit in Libya. Abbas also called on Arab states to take immediate action to force Tel Aviv to stop its settlement activities in Al-Quds. He described the Israeli construction there as ethnic cleansing. Earlier, the Arab League chief Amr Moussa addressed the two-day summit in the Libyan city of Sirte. He warned the Middle East peace process may be a total failure with Israel's current policies. Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan also slammed as madness Israel's claim to Jerusalem as its capital. Well, earlier, our Beirut correspondent Ali Rizk told us more about Mahmoud Abbas's remarks at the summit.
So nothing very much unexpected. Abbas actually did leave the window of proximity talks or the indirect talks with the Israeli side. He left this open in spite of the latest practices, and it seems that Abbas is still depending on the international community. By the way, he called on the EU, the Security Council, to address these issues, to put a stop to Israeli settlement activity. And in that way, I think Abbas indirectly said that he's still against the resistance process against the Israeli side. His speech still depending on the negotiating process, and that's where we don't know how the Arab population will react. Those, the Arab population, who now is shifting towards more pro-resistance, more pro-Hezbollah and Hamas. So how will the community, how will the Arab world in general react to Abbas's speech, which, as I said, still endorses a negotiating track in spite of the latest developments in the Israeli practices in Jerusalem al-Quds and towards Al-Aqsa Mosque?
Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi has left everybody astounded again. He has kissed the hand of Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi. The latest gaffe by Berlusconi came during the Arab League summit in the Libyan city of Sirte. The Italian Prime Minister is well known for his diplomatic gaffes. Italy ruled Libya for nearly four decades after 1911. A new era of improved relations finally dawned when Rome apologized to Tripoli and asked to let bygones be bygones. The apology was followed by a number of accords which has cemented bilateral ties. Well, thousands of Palestinians have gathered in central Gaza and near the Rafah crossing to urge leaders at the Arab League summit to take serious action against Israel. The protesters want Arab states to cut diplomatic ties with Tel Aviv over its policy of settlement expansion on occupied Palestinian land. They have also demanded Arab leaders protect the Al-Aqsa Mosque from desecration. Palestinians have called for an end to Israel's ongoing siege on Gaza, as well as its air raids and military incursions into the besieged coastal enclave. Meanwhile, Israeli troops and tanks have withdrawn from the Gaza Strip after a brief but bloody incursion that left one Palestinian dead and seven others injured. Israeli troops entered Gaza and moved towards the town of Khan Yunis following clashes with Palestinians on Friday. The fighting started after Israeli troops crossed into Gaza and were confronted by Hamas fighters. It is the bloodiest clash in the region since Israel's offensive on the coastal enclave 14 months ago. Over 1,400 Palestinians and 13 Israelis died in the conflict. To the United Kingdom, where several more young Muslim protesters have been jailed after being convicted of violent disorder during the January 2009 Gaza protests. Video evidence was used to convict the defendants, but many say the sentencing, up to 2.5 years for some, is harsh and does not take into account complaints that police provoked violent reactions from the crowds. Press TV's Farina Alam reports from London.
Families and friends say it's a nightmare that refuses to end. So far, 22 of the 78 charged for so-called violent disorder during last year's pro-Gaza protests have been sent to jail for up to 2.5 years by a judge determined to set an example out of them. This week, several more suffered the same fate.
If you like, a veteran protester. I've been doing this for 25 years. I'm sure my face is everywhere. It's not me that's they're being picked on at the moment. It's people who are new to that kind of struggle, who they think can easily be driven out of it and easily scared.
Here are the scenes from one of the many protests in London during Israel's brutal war on Gaza. Police say public property was looted and damaged, and several officers injured by a small minority of violent protesters. The presiding judge said today that the protesters present at all those Gaza demonstrations could, in his opinion, be divided into two different categories. The first, a large majority, were peaceful and protesting behind the official stewards. And the second group, the minority, were violent and troublemakers. Now, he says that the defendants behind me in Isleworth Crown Court today, who fell into the second category, deserved the harshest punishment. But the severity of the sentences has left many stunned, especially since almost all the defendants were previously of good character.
I was sitting in a court and all the charges they were putting on him was waving a stick, pushing a fence, taking a chair out of Starbucks, and they even admitted he didn't injure anyone, he didn't make any damages, there was nothing at all, and they gave him a harsh sentence.
It's terrible. They destroyed our families, and they are still destroying others' families. And it's awful when you see your son going to prison or killed just like that. But we leave it and we keep praying.
Earlier this week, two defendants had their sentences reduced on appeal, while one had all charges against him dropped because of lack of evidence. Distressed family members say this gives them hope.
Really, this will explain to us, will show us that we need to carry on being strong, will give us more strength. We won't be weak, we won't go backward. It will make us fighting against this humiliation.
Campaigners have now launched a public petition to free those who have been jailed and for charges to be dropped against those awaiting trial. There are calls also for an independent investigation into complaints that police violently provoked the protesters. Farina Alam, Press TV, London.
The Taliban says its forces have killed 12 foreign troops in Afghanistan's southern province of Khost. A Taliban spokesman says the militants detonated an explosive device as a NATO convoy was passing through the city of Ghalandar. The militants also claim that they have destroyed 3 tanks in the ambush. NATO has yet to comment on the alleged incident. Meanwhile, the top U.S. commander in Afghanistan has acknowledged NATO's failure to reduce civilian casualties in the war-torn country. General Sandy McChrystal says many Afghans have fallen victim to indiscriminate firing from NATO convoys and checkpoints. McChrystal had sought to reduce the killing of civilians through tougher rules, but military officials now say at least 30 innocent Afghans have been killed and 80 others wounded in shootings carried out by foreign troops since last summer. NATO is already under fire over its deadly airstrikes in Afghanistan. Well, around 300 million people worldwide celebrate Nowruz, or the Persian New Year. This year, a number of leaders from the regional countries are in Tehran for for the first UN-designated international Nowruz celebration. Let's take a look.
Iran is hosting the first international Nowruz celebration. Presidents of Iraq, Afghanistan, Turkmenistan and Tajikistan came to Tehran to attend the event. Turkey's deputy prime minister and Azerbaijan's foreign minister were also among the officials who gathered in Tehran. Iran's president Mahmoud Ahmadinejad described the Persian New Year Nowruz as an opportunity to improve unity and ties among nations.
Nowruz bakhshi tafkik napazir az farhang mushtarek hame mast va in zarfiyat ra darad ke zamine saz ravabit gostarde va amiq farhangi va irtiqa'e arzeshhaye insani dar bein hame millat ha bashad.
He also said more measures should be taken to introduce the occasion to the world. Ahmadinejad said Nowruz will contribute to strengthening peace and justice. Meanwhile, Afghan President Hamid Karzai expressed hope that his war-torn nation could celebrate Nowruz in peace and stability.
Inshallah ta'ala ki kishvarhayman misli in roze bahari ma dar khoshi va aramish va dar taraqqi va saadat zindagi kunan.
The Persian New Year, which falls on the 21st of March, marks the first day of spring on the solar calendar. Hundreds of millions of people across the world celebrate Nowruz. It's a public holiday in Iran, Afghanistan, Iraq's Kurdistan and Azerbaijan, as well as several Central Asian countries. This year, the UN General Assembly recognized the International Day of Nowruz. The world body described it as a spring festival of Persian origin, which has been celebrated for over 3,000 years. Nowruz is considered as a symbol of rebirth and closeness. Many believe that it can serve as a harbinger of peace and friendship across the world.
You're with Press TV's World News. These are the top stories this hour. The Palestinian Authority calls on the UN Security Council to stop Israeli actions against Muslim and Christian sanctities. The Taliban say they've killed at least a dozen foreign soldiers in several operations across Afghanistan. And several world leaders take part in the first international Nowruz festivities in Iran.
نوروز این ظرفیت را دارد که زمین ساز روابط گسترده و عمیق فرهنگی و ارتقاء ارزش‌های انسانی در بین همه ملت‌ها باشد.